I want to ask you a question this morning. What are your money habits? What are your money habits? My hope is, as we wrap up this series today, that you just take a moment to reflect on, is there anything more that God wants to speak to me about how I approach my finances, how I approach money, and whether there is a health to that or a lack of health to that? And I think we can live in a time where, for many of us, we want something and we want it now. A couple of people agreeing on the front row. We want something and we want it now. I learned this, as I said, I've just been on holiday, I've been traveling, and it is a lot of travel. And it's a lot of travel for me, but it's definitely a lot of travel for my 2-year-old daughter. Now, she, it was like, okay, fly to the UK. Then we had to go and sort out their visas on day one. So we drive into central London and then back to my house. That ended up being like a 12-hour kind of time in the car and outside and sorting things. So it's like 12 hours flight, 12 hours car. We then drive 3 hours and 3 hours back to see my grandparents. So there was a lot of driving. And Evelyn can say a lot of words, but she didn't say these exact words, but I got a lot of variations of, are we there yet? And mostly that came through screaming at me from the back, get me out of this car seat! But I think many of us, when it comes to our money habits, we're like, are we there yet? Can I afford this? And how much debt am I willing to go into because I really want this car? Or I really need this laptop, or I really need that. And so many of us today are not ready to wait and take our time on things, because if we want it, we want it now. And today we're talking about the idea that tomorrow matters. Tomorrow matters. I want to open up the Bible with us this morning to help us to see that God wants to empower you with wisdom to help you to have a better tomorrow. Because I think sometimes, we're going to talk a little bit, let me throw up the main idea that we're talking about today. We're going to say that we want to spend less and invest more. That's what I want for you today. I want you to spend less and invest more. And I think in church sometimes there can be a misunderstanding about when it comes to faith and money. Sometimes when it comes to faith, we say, I don't want to build up a savings account because I've just got to have faith that God's going to provide. And the truth is that the Bible teaches us some wisdom about how to save, but because it's difficult to do that and to discipline ourselves in those ways, sometimes we ignore those things and we just say, I'll just have faith. And God would say to us today, have faith to believe that the Bible is true and that he's provided wisdom for us in the scriptures about how to prepare for a better tomorrow. And so I want to empower you with the word of God today about what it's going to look like for us to spend less and invest more. And I want to do this because even for Meg and I personally, we've got family members who are approaching into their 60s, the end of their career, and have never put any money aside for later on in life. And so they're approaching these times and it can be uncertain. And I know that for some of us in the room today, that will be a similar situation for us. That when we look at where we are, maybe we're a few years away from retirement, or maybe you're there and you're earlier on in your working life and you haven't thought about that. Those things can feel uncertain. Maybe you're saying, Josh, it's all good and well saying spend less, invest more, but I can barely get through the bills that I'm meant to pay today, let alone thinking about tomorrow. And I understand all of those things. And that's why I want us to look at what the Bible says today about your future, because God has a plan. God has something for us. And I believe that even for some of us, just to open up the Bible and see what the Bible says is going to deposit faith within you today to say, okay, Lord, how can I start praying and believing for tomorrow, not just for today? So I want us to look at three different areas that I want to encourage you to invest into. Are you with me this morning, church?
Yeah.
All right. The first area that we're going to invest is, I want you to invest in your future. I want to invest in your future. Let's look at what Proverbs, which one? Proverbs 21, verse 20. It says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. The wise are going to store up and save, let's say, save for a rainy day, when they're going to put some aside for when they need it, rather than spending it all or eating it all at once. There's something in here, biblical truth for us to say, what does it look like, instead of me just getting whatever income I can get and spending it all, how can I start to step into the principle of putting some aside for when I'm really going to need it? Because there's something valuable. Let's just even go into the next proverb, 13 verse 11. It says, whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. I've often talked with people about trying to see income increase or wealth increase or whatever it is. And we're so often looking for the silver bullet. What's the one thing? What's the one business? What's the one thing that I can do that is going to change things for me? And what the Bible says here is little by little. There's a principle of saying, even if I can save 20 rand this month, let me put that aside. Because and we believe for it, if I'm going to see a shift in my income, I'm going to have the principle of investing for my future, putting things aside for my future, so that tomorrow, the me in 30 years' time, the me in 10 years' time, the me in 40 years' time, whatever it is, whatever life stage we're in, is going to be thankful that I did that. So I'm going to put aside the 20 rand, or I'm going to put aside the 50 rand, or maybe I can put aside 1,000 rand or 2,000 rand, whatever it is in your situation, little by little, we are going to invest in your future. Because I believe that wisdom is going to lead you to that place. Wisdom is going to, God has given you a spirit of wisdom to be able to set you up for the future. And this is why during this whole series, and I hope you've caught this, we've been saying we don't want something from you, we want something for you. It makes no impact to my life whether you start saving for your retirement. But let me tell you, it is going to change the trajectory of your life if you can start doing that. I want to see you blessed, and I believe God is going to use you to step into that. Why? Through wisdom. So I want to encourage you to invest in your future. I believe God wants to bless you in that way. So grow your money little by little. Grow your money little by little. The second thing I want to encourage you with is I want you to invest in your children's future. I want you to see you invest in your children's future. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs. Proverbs 13:22, I believe it is. It says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. I want to encourage you today. And I know we've got people at so many different life stages. You're like, I'm in university. I'm not thinking about this. You can start now. Wherever you are, I believe God wants to, whether you are single, whether you are married, maybe you've got an older child and they're already moving out of your house, wherever you are, start somewhere. Start investing today. Put something aside, because we're going to invest. I believe it is a godly thing to do, to think about your legacy. I want us, as we wrap up this series today, to start thinking beyond ourselves and looking to those who are going to come after us. Because there's something about the kingdom that says, this is not about me, this is about those coming after me. There's something powerful about it. And you may not be in a position to leave your child a house, but there may be something that you can leave them. You say, I'm going to believe today that I'm going to be leaving 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 rand on the day I die. I'm going to leave a legacy for someone. Maybe it is going to be something else. Maybe it's going to be an asset. But I believe that God wants to lead you into bigger thinking. I want you to be ambitious about what you can do for the legacy coming after you. That is a godly thing to do, is to start dreaming bigger for your life. I believe God wants to bless your life in this kind of way. And the third area I want to encourage you to invest in today, it's a simple message today, but it's I want you to catch hold of this idea, tomorrow matters. Because if you get this mindset in your life, then it will start to shape how you think and live. It'll start to shape the trajectory that you live with. The third area is I want you to invest in God's house. Meg and I believe this, that the most important place we can invest our resources for our family, for our children, for our marriage, for our city, is into God's house. That when we put our resources into God's house, that it not only affects our future, not only affects our children's future, it also shapes eternities that will come after us. It also shapes legacies that will come after us. That God wants to lead us into investing into God's house, because it will have such a significant difference on the eternities of those around us. Matthew 19 verse 29 says this, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. There's something about seeing the investments into God's house as having an eternal perspective. And I want to encourage you today to start, even if you missed last week's message, I really encourage you to catch up on it. Because we talked last week about, okay, we're going to return the tithe. But this is even beyond this. This is about investing into God's house for the generations that are to come. I want to share a verse with you that's really haunted me. You know, sometimes a verse catches you in the Bible. There's a verse that's haunted me for some time since I first read it. And it's in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible. And there's the people of God are there. And Joshua was their leader. And Joshua came after Moses. But Joshua led the people of God into some great victories for God. And the people enjoyed it. And they enjoyed life. They were like, YOLO, let's go. You only live once, baby. Let's do this. And they were going after it. It was amazing. They had such a good life. The kingdom was expanding of Israel. They were living the dream. But then Judges 2 verse 10 happens. And this verse freaks me out. It says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. So that whole generation of Joshua's generation died. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So what the Lord done for Israel? Just a quick history lesson for us. Let's remind ourselves. The book of Exodus is all about all the miracles that God did. Moses walks through and he goes up to this sea and they've got the Egyptians behind them. There's no way through, and yet God parts the Red Sea and they step into their deliverance and freedom. And they start seeing all these miracles when they're out in the wilderness, the ways in which God provides for them. God moved even when they were in Egypt. And he did all these miraculous things to find freedom. They then step in with Joshua and they see all these amazing victories through the book of Joshua. All this stuff happens. And the generation after Joshua's generation knew nothing about it. They had a great time in the moment. But their legacy, the after effect of their life, they made no difference. And here's what I want to tell you today, church, that your legacy is more important than your lifetime. Your legacy is more important than your lifetime. I want you to think about the fact that tomorrow matters, because you can have a great life today. You can get your money. You can enjoy whatever it is you want to enjoy. You can have a nice house and a nice car, and the car payments make you seem richer than you are. But your legacy is more important than your lifetime. Because there are those coming after you, whether that's your children, but in the house of God, there are eternities at stake. Because we know, we believe in the power of the gospel to change people's lives today, but not just for today, that we would step into an eternity transforming relationship with Jesus. And if you're a guest here today, I'm going to say something a little bold today, and this is not for you. But if you regularly attend our church, and you call Freedom Church your home, can I challenge you with something? If you are coming, and you are eating from the table in God's house, but you are not returning the tithe to God's house, then we are cheating people, because there are so many more people we want to reach. And if you're not investing into the eternities that God has, He wants us to reach a city. He's calling us up, church. He's calling us up. And if you're not investing into God's house today, but we're eating from the table, then we're missing out on the whole game. This is not about us. This is not about your lifetime. This is not about you just sitting in a church and getting some encouraging words. This is about a city that needs to be reached and changed by Jesus. This is about seeing lives transformed. And we talked about it last week, but I wasn't here in the flesh to challenge us. So I just want to give us a little bit this morning. Invest in God's house. Because there are people who are waiting for us. We're going to talk more about it next week. I'm believing that this spring, let's start talking about the spring already, because the winter is, you just look past the winter, spring's coming. This spring, we're believing that God is going to use us to reach many, many people with the love of Jesus. We just heard from David and Siobhan, amazing story. They saw, here's what I want you to know. If you joined this church since we launched here in Newlands, there were some people sat around you in church with you today who invested, sacrificed their finance so that we could put some ads on Facebook so people like David and Siobhan could come through to the church and have their lives transformed by Jesus. Because people said, we believe that we've got to leave a legacy that's bigger. I want a vision that is bigger than my lifetime, that is bigger than my circumstances, that is beyond me. And here's the thing, church, I want you to invest in your children's future. I want you to invest in your future. I don't want you to get to a point where you've just lived life and then you're getting to the point of retirement and it's like, what do we do? I want that for you. But let me tell you, if that's all that is and you're not investing in the house of God, man, life will feel empty by the time you get to that point. Invest into God's house. I think even some of us, we're feeling the call today. We're feeling the conviction today. You say, I know God's got a call on my life, but I've not been pursuing it. I believe even today God wants to call you out and say, there's more. There's more that He has for you. There's greater calling. There's greater purpose. There's greater vision. There's more that He has for you today. So people have talked you down, counted you out, and Lord, the Lord brought you to this place today to remind you of what He's put in you. He's put calling. He's put vision. He's put a grace on your life. It's time to start investing. Giving is good, just die. We're getting to the end of the series. It's fine. Lord, bless that sign. All right. It's fine. We can retire it. It's like giving is good. There is a calling. There is a purpose on you. If you stepped into this house today, if you got breath in your lungs today, I want to encourage you, there's more. There is more that He has for you. There is more that He has for you. Don't settle where you've been. Believe Him for more. And the way the kingdom works is when I give out, then it multiplies. If I give out, it multiplies. But it doesn't multiply when I hoard it. What happened with, none of this is in my notes. Come on, somebody. I still got time. All right. What happened when the feeding of the 5,000 happens is that the little boy brings his 5 bread, 2 fish. And when does it multiply? It multiplies when they, because it doesn't, the Bible says that Jesus prayed over it and then said, now go and give it out. So it didn't multiply when Jesus had it. It multiplies when the disciples start giving it. So they're like, Jesus, we only got 5 bread, 2 fish here. I don't know what you're talking about, but fine. And then they tear some bread and they give it. And then what just happened to the bread? There's more. And they give it and it multiplies. They give it and it multiplies. They give it and it multiplies. The Bible says that that by the end of the time, there's 12 baskets left full of bread and fish. When you start investing your life into something, when you start giving beyond yourself, you will see God multiply that which he's placed in your hands. But it will not multiply if you keep it. This is how the kingdom works. It will not multiply if you hoard it. So yes, invest in your future. But do not miss out on the fact that God wants you to invest in his house. Because if you put his kingdom first, all things will be added to you. So like I say, if you're a guest here today, that bit wasn't for you. But if you want it, you can have it. Because I believe even for you, if it's your first time with us today, I believe God wants to bless you. But often when we read the Bible, his blessing is conditional. We just want to, God, show up. He says, give and you'll receive. That's how his kingdom works. So I want to encourage you today. Invest into a place. And we don't invest, we don't give to receive. We give because God has blessed us. And we want to give. But let me tell you, our God is a generous God. He will not be able to help himself. But pour it back into your life. And so I want to encourage you today. God has a plan for you that is far beyond your lifetime. He wants to do something in you that will impact the generations to come. And the truth is this, it is in your hands whether that happens or not. It is your call. You get to choose it. And I want to encourage you to be faithful to the principles of his word. Grow your money little by little. Don't spend it all at once. Put some aside. Invest in God's house and see what he will do. See what he will do. So I want to pray for us this morning, church. And if there's something you've caught from this morning, maybe you're just sensing like God is stirring something in you around your finances, or maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's about your calling. I want to pray for us this morning. So Jesus, we thank you that you have brought us together as your church today. Lord, maybe just to remind us, Lord, of the calling. Maybe just to remind us the purpose that you've placed on our life, that it is bigger than just us. That it's not just about me and my life. We know that you have a plan to take care of us. You give us wisdom to do that, but there's also something about the legacy that comes after us. It's bigger than our lifetime. Jesus, I pray, Lord, for the courage. For those of us, maybe through fear, we've held back. Lord, I pray, would you give us courage today, Lord, to overcome the fear and to follow you with courage today, Jesus.